Okay, let's turn to James chapter 1. And the title of my message is Big Girls Don't Whine. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, I remember as a little girl how I just wanted to be grown up. I mean, I would look at the girls that was older than me and I thought, yes, I wish I could be like them. I mean, even my youngest daughter, she turned 4 in April. You know, every morning when we walk out to the car, and the sun sort of catches her from the back and it casts a tall shadow in front of her, she's like, I'm big, you know, she's, even tonight when we got out of the car and the light fell behind her, there's just such a desire to be older or bigger, to be grown up. You know, the biggest insult for her, or a lot of tension in our house, is when my eldest daughter tells her, you're too small, you know. It brings a lot of unhappiness. But maybe you don't remember what you were like when you were 4, but you remember what you were like when you were in high school. I mean, and that's when you look at the older girls and you think, man, I wish I can wear makeup. I mean, a big thing for me was like, I want to go to a dance party. You know, you just look up and you think, oh, it just looks so much better. It looks great. You know, it looks, I want to stay up late. I want money. I want to be able to drive. You know, it's just so many things. But the thing is, the problem is when we do grow up and we do become big girls, it can look so appealing to be a little girl again, right? I mean, let's be honest, there's somebody that takes care of you. It's you don't have to think about money. I mean, when you're tired, you just send all the other little girls home. You can go to bed early. It's actually a nice thing. And, you know, so there's such a temptation when life gets stressful and when it's demanding and, you know, that it's tempting to want to be a little girl again. That it looks like a lot of fun. And it's so much easier to sit down and to feel sorry for ourselves on those days, right? To feel sorry for ourselves and to complain and to wish that somebody would just tuck us in for that nap and figure out our mess and clean up behind us and bail us out. Because life is tough. It's tough. It's hard. And it's tempting to want the easy way out. Yeah. It's tempting to not take responsibility. Yet it's so much more rewarding when we do, when we make the choices that big girls need to make. To look our problems in the eye and say, it's harder than whining about them, but it's a lot more fulfilling. It's a bigger challenge and a bigger responsibility, but it brings freedom and confidence. And so big girls don't have to whine. Now, we all need to grow up and we all need to mature and we all need to take responsibility. You know, my eldest daughter went to grade 1 this year, and for her it's a big thing just to make sure that her school bag is packed at night. You know, it's such a little thing. Or that she's put her school clothes where it needs to be for the next morning. You know, if I keep on doing those things for her, it will cripple her maturity. Does she like it? No ways. But she has got to take responsibility. Let's look in James chapter 1. I'm just going to read there, verse 2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, I love this passage. It says, the testing of our faith develops perseverance. We don't have it. It needs to be developed. And we need to grow in it. We need to develop perseverance. Perseverance is to persist. We need to develop the characteristic to persist, to endure, to continue, to not give up, to be consistent, to be steadfast. It needs to be developed. We don't get born with it. We need to grow in it. And it says, it must finish its work. It must, for us to be mature and complete. In other words, for us to be whole, it must finish its work. And then the promise in that, or the reward in that, is that we will not lack anything. Isn't that encouraging? That's what the Bible says. We will not lack anything. Now, the Message version says, don't try and get out of anything prematurely. In other words, too early or too quickly. Isn't that what we want to do when life gets tough? We want to get out of it prematurely. It says, let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Isn't that a good description of what perseverance does? And yet when we bail out early, we're just not well-developed. We're just not complete. The Life Application Bible says, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So, let it grow. Don't try and squirm out of your problems. Again, don't we want to do that? Can I just find a way to get out of this? Out of this tough spot? Out of this uncomfortability? Out of this that I just don't like? It finishes off saying, for when your patience is in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything. Isn't that a wonderful reward and a promise? So God's plan for us is to grow. And not only to grow, but to grow up. He didn't create anything to remain in an immature state. That's not his plan. We're not meant to remain as children. And throughout this process, he is always, always with us. He never leaves us to just handle stuff on our own. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start there in verse 5. It says, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement. You're all there. It says, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons, as daughters. My daughter, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a daughter. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a daughter. For what daughter is not disciplined by a father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true daughters. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. I mean, I love this passage, verse 6, it says, God disciplines those he loves. Discipline is a sign of love, not of cruelty. From God, it's a sign of love. In verse 7, it says, endure hardship, that time where you feel so uncomfortable and stretched and unsure and confused, or like you just can't. Endure it as discipline, because the reward is, in verse 10 he says, that we may share in his holiness. Again, what an incredible to look forward to. To look forward to that, to share in his holiness. Now I think our response is, you know, what is our response to discipline? I think often, I mean, if we look at the passage, God says it should be gratitude, right? It's to look at it and say, God loves me. Yet I think we often respond as children. I mean, I often respond like a child. You know, and again, my kids are learning this. My little girls need to learn this. You know, the youngest, I mean, they're not allowed to sit and draw with their crayons or cookies on the bed. You know, they need to sit at a table. Such a basic thing. Because they leave the caps open or they leave the crayons there and everybody sits on it. Okay. So when I say, sweetie, you're not allowed to draw on your bed, the answer is, jy maak my hart seer. It's like you're breaking my heart up, Mom. How can you say that? That's their response. Or, It's you being nasty. You know, jy's nou regtig lelik, mama. Now, and that's often the answer to most things. You know, can I have a sweet? No. Jy maak my hartjie seer. You know, it's their response to discipline. It's they just don't like it, right? What they're actually saying is, I don't like what you're saying. But isn't that what we do, right? It's just, oh, God, you're hurting my heart, you know. You're being nasty here. Because we can respond like children. You know, the Bible helps us here with our response. It says, in verse 5, it says, my daughter, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. The message says, don't shrug off God's discipline and don't be crushed by it either. In other words, don't just shrug it off and say, I'm going to ignore it, it'll just go away, because it doesn't just go away. But also don't be filled with self-pity and feel sorry for yourself or have an attitude of, I don't deserve this, or resent God or be angry. We should rather accept it with gratitude and not complain. Now, you know, and it's like I said, it's something I'm learning and had to learn in parenting, is to discipline my kids is love. It's love to discipline them. Yeah. You don't have to go there, but in Proverbs 13, verse 24, it says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. And that's exactly what God does. And so he doesn't rescue us from our struggles. You know, and we need to learn the value of a challenge and of a hard time instead of trying to constantly avoid it. Because isn't that how we can almost go through life? Is we just want to avoid. We just want to avoid anything hard. The end of verse, verse 11 in chapter 12, Hebrews 12 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You know, and I've been so challenged by this, because I think, you know, for a lot of us that's been around for long, around the church, maybe 10 years, you know, I remember days, I mean, there was a lot of bad things that changed, which is very good. But I remember there was such an attitude of, man, we've got to be tough. Yeah. Which was such a good thing. Don't know how else to put it. There was such a toughness, you know. I think, you know, I remember being assigned different people to disciple me that I did not get along with at all, you know. And I thought, how am I going to do this? You know, people are going to look after me spiritually. And I thought, yes, I don't click with them. I don't even know if I like them. But, you know, I just had to deal with it. And I had to learn, what can I learn from this person that is so completely opposite from me? How can I learn from them? And because my heart, I had to learn to have a heart that was willing to learn from anybody. You know, and it was a great thing, because I learned how to deal with different people, or how to be friends with different people. And because, again, the attention or the focus was not me, it was what is best for the group, right? And I think today, I think we can so easily have an attitude, or we have an attitude of it, what's easiest for me? That we forget about the group. You know, and it's like we can live our discipleship as if the scriptures that say we must deny ourselves don't exist in the Bible. But they are there. But we can have that attitude. Like, it's almost like they're not there. And it's, what is easy for me? What suits me? What is that I want? And we don't think about the bigger group anymore. You know, an interesting thing in nature is that birds and animals don't have a choice whether they want to grow up or not. Either they do, or they die. I mean, I'm sure you've seen scenes on the TV, National Geographic or any nature piece, where you know, a baby gets born and it's like they've got to just jump up and run with the rest of the herd, or man, or they just get chowed. It's just they live by instinct, you know. They've just got to go. For us as people, we can choose whether we want to grow up or not. God gives us free will.
Right.
And so it's our choice,
yeah,
what our response is going to be. And 2 Peter 1, it clearly says that God says he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need. And he waits to see what we will choose. Whether we're going to choose to be wise and mature, or whether we're going to choose to be foolish and immature. Like I said, animals live by instinct. We need to live by wisdom, and wisdom is learned. We, again, don't just receive it when we're born. It's learned. In Hebrews 5, sorry, you should still be in Hebrews. I'm just going to stick in Hebrews tonight for the rest of the evening. In Hebrews 5, it says in verse 13, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I mean, it's a learning process. It's learning what we must do to be wise in our friendships, when we're in conflict situations, with our emotions, our schedules, when we don't like what's being preached at church. I mean, it's a learning. It's a constant learning to be wise. And when we've learned it, we've got to embrace it and practice it. We can't just acquire the knowledge. We need to actually live it and apply it. And so, I mean, I was thinking, why do we keep on complaining? You know, why do I so easily want to complain? And the truth is, it's just so comfortable. I mean, Van and I was talking about it, and it's this lekker. It is, isn't it? Lekker is lekker om jammer te voel van self. It's nice to feel sorry for ourselves, right? It's if no one else is going to pity me, I'll do it myself, you know? And if our pride is out there that we don't want someone else to comfort us, let me just do it myself, you know? And it's that poor me, I'm all alone, no one understands, or... Because if we do take responsibility, it means that I need to do something about it. I need to do something about what I feel, or what I'm thinking, or this challenge, or this situation. And it's just so much more comfortable to complain about it, or to whine. It's so much easier to blame. You know, during the Easter holidays, we were away for a couple of days, and I was talking to Vanna about this, because I felt... You know, I just felt I was feeling low, and I felt faithless and frustrated. And there was different situations that came up, and different people responded in a way that I felt was nasty to me or to Vanna. And, you know, and I felt like, can't they see what we're trying to do? Can't they see what we're just trying hard? You know, and it was just that self-pity sort of, you know, slowly seeping in. And it's not like I was emotionally falling apart. I'm not talking I was sitting in the room crying my eyes out or anything like that. It's just that subtle caving. You know what I mean, where you cave? Your emotions just start to cave. And you just start to focus on yourself and what everybody else don't understand. And it becomes a pity party. It just becomes a... I was moody, edgy, you know, I just feel like I'm just, everything is just, can someone else just handle it? Oh, here we are on holiday, and it's like I'm withdrawing and disengaging emotionally, because I just need to look after myself, right? That's how easy it happened, and like I said, I've been emotionally falling apart, but my mood, my demeanor, It's just a poor me. And so it can be so subtle, where we're just not ready to stand up and say, let me deal with it, let me face it, Let me figure this out and move on. Do you get, guys, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I think of my kids. You know, we got them a swing ball over those holidays, and obviously they were very excited until they tried to do it. And then it was like, stupid swing ball! Like, you know, it's just, everything's wrong with the swing ball and the stupid bike. Then everything's wrong with the bike. But that's how it is, eh? We look at, it's how we look at things. It's how we look at the swing ball. It's how we look at the bike. It's how we look at our problems that determine how we respond to them. You know, it's how we look at the training. We want it easy. And so, you know, I think we can just experience so much pain or discomfort in life and in relationships without realizing that it's our own immaturity that is the problem. You know, that's actually, if we can fix that and just grow up and take responsibility and deal with something or whatever the situation is, that it'll spare us a lot of heartache than to sit in that pit. And so, you know, life is not about avoiding suffering. It's not. We will all go through many, many, many hardships, whether it's from the day-to-day mundane things or very, very big things. And we need to learn how to suffer well. Because we will suffer. How to suffer well. In Hebrews 5, again, we're still there. Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him. Let's end there. I mean, Jesus had to learn obedience through his suffering. He wasn't exempt. He wasn't spared suffering. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, again it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. You know, he wasn't exempt from suffering, and I think we can't think that we will be. And I mean, again, I've been a disciple for a long time, and yet it's so easy for me to want to feel like that I'm above this. Because I want it easy. Now, so what makes a big girl? I wrote here, when you take responsibility for yourself, when you take ownership of your life, and that means taking ownership or responsibility for your feelings, your attitudes, your behavior, your choices, your limits, your talents, your thoughts, your desires, your values, but you own it. Your feelings or my feelings are my problem, not someone else's to fix. My attitude is my problem. And so it's when we stop demanding that life or even the church meet our demands, but it's instead the attitude of we want to meet the demands of life. And that can include church. It's a whole different way of looking at it. Yeah. Little girls remain victims. They constantly feel like they have no choice in life. And so they remain helpless. Life is just something that happens to them. And they're controlled by outside forces. And so it's easy, if you're controlled by outside forces, it's easy to blame outside forces, whether that's people, your boss, the situation, the church. It's easy. And it's easy then to feel like for me to be happy, those people need to change, or that situation needs to change, or the church needs to change. And if you feel justified in those excuses, you don't take responsibility. Because why do you need to? It's their fault that I'm feeling the way I am. And if you feel like your excuses are valid, it's easy to have a pity party, and that just leads to procrastination. I'm sure we've all been there. You procrastinate and you do nothing about it except complain and whine. And so a victim makes the problem external instead of seeing, but no, it's internal. For all of us, it's internal. Our problems reveal who we are internally. And so I think most of our battles and our pain comes from our mixed-up attitudes that we have ourselves, our issues, or our responses to mixed-up people. So again, it goes back to we need to take responsibility for it. The only way for things to change is if we change ourselves or figure out what's going on and who we are inside. And so we need to take responsibility for this internal struggle, because it's the only way we can be free to choose to be independent or to be when we take responsibility. So what I want to do now is I'm going to go through just a list that I compiled of little girl and big girl characteristics. And as I go through them, you might find yourself popping up on the list you don't want to be on, okay? Don't get upset and don't despair. I think part of being a big girl is to recognize the negative behavior within ourselves, as well as the good, so that we can deal with it, because we can't deal with what we can't acknowledge, right? So let's start. Little girls. First thing is, little girls tend to be self-absorbed. They go through life unaware of other people's feelings because they are so consumed with themselves. It's difficult to accommodate other people's needs because they are inflexible. Their own life takes center stage. A little girl takes things very personal, and her feelings get hurt very quickly. You never know what her emotional state is going to be. It's like walking on eggshells. She's able to get people to serve her hand and foot because she's able to use guilt very well. Other people always end up feeling sorry for her. It's a feeling of you need to rescue her. But in the end, you just feel manipulated and used. She has to be good at everything and finds it difficult when somebody else is better than her at something. It's hard for her to stick to an assignment or a job for very long. When it gets tough, she wants to bail. She has good intention, but little follow through. She ends up being high maintenance at home and in the workplace. She always finds something or someone to blame for her dissatisfaction. And she makes sure she gets attention, whether that's being the life of the party or the party pooper. Identify with any of that? Okay. Now, a big girl cares more about others than herself. She's aware of people's needs, and she treats people well and expects to be treated well herself. It makes her an asset in the workplace, and she doesn't complain. Okay, a little girl again. A little girl makes other people responsible for her happiness. She's dependent on people for her worth or a sense of value. And because of that, she's highly influenced by what other people say or think. When she asks advice, she really wants other people to tell her what to do, because it's so much easier than taking responsibility herself. And so simple things become very complicated. She doesn't realize she's responsible for her own happiness, not her husband or her friends or her children. She often needs to be attached to a friend, a boyfriend, or a spouse to feel whole. You know, and I think this is a challenging one. But again, it's taking responsibility for our own happiness. No one other than ourselves is responsible for our happiness. And I think, you know, what I wanted to mention here was just that, you know, I know in church I don't know how else to say it, but I guess I just need to say it. I think in church we're obviously trying a lot of new things, right? Our worship has changed, the messages, the series as we preach, and there's a lot of good stuff, and there's a lot of things where we're just learning and experimenting. And I think what is often difficult is that within a message, it's very hard to meet every person's at their emotional state, right? In this room, we're all, either someone is sitting there being very depressed or feeling very guilty or just, you know, everybody's at a different place or very happy, very excited and a good spiritual place. And within a message, it's very hard to meet everybody at that place. And I think some people, there's often that people come to us and say, can you make the lessons or the messages more challenging? We want a challenge. You know, please, give it to us straight. Challenge us. Then you get people coming to us and saying, we just need to speak about love and grace. And, you know, it sort of swings from one point to the next. It's not an easy thing. And I think where we've just got to be mature as women is not to blame the speaker for where our emotional state is at. Because I think a lot of husbands, or the men, have spoken to Van and feel like this message is, my wife is not doing well with this message. And I mean, I want to be respectful and sensitive towards that. But I think maturity, to be mature, is to say, sure, I hear this message, this is where I'm at emotionally, and take what you need out of the message. Isn't it? I mean, because you can't, I mean, it's not directed at you personally. You've got to take out of the message where you're at and what you need to hear, but that doesn't make the entire message a mess. And I think we've got to take responsibility for that as women, because I think some of the men come to Vanna and feel like they need to tiptoe around their wives, or they come to church anxious about what state their wives are going to come home with because of a message. I mean, I don't think we preach hard messages on Sunday. So, but I wanted to mention that because I think it's part of the point of we're responsible for our own happiness. If I sit in a message and I don't like something that I hear, I've got to ask myself why. What is this? Why am I so disturbed by it? Why am I so unhappy about this? And figure it out. And I'm not saying don't bring up things that we need, you know, that any of the speakers need to hear. We need to hear those things. But we also need to be mature about where we are at emotionally. So, amen. Now, big girls take responsibility for their own happiness. She's comfortable in her own skin and her own place in history. She doesn't need to look for the approval of people. She doesn't need a significant other to feel significant. She's not afraid to be herself with her friends and her family. She knows what she does well. And she knows what she doesn't do well. And admits both easily. And the next one is important. She's keen to improve what she's not good at if she needs to improve it. Isn't this important? Because we're not all good at everything. What she doesn't need to do well, she leaves alone. She lets it go and lets people who are good at it do it. That's taking responsibility for your own happiness. Now, little girls lack discretion, insight, and wisdom. Little girls are more impulsive than thoughtful. She's led by her emotions. Big girls, in turn, possess remarkable discretion, insight, and wisdom. She's sensible and reasonable. Her advice is generally sound and reliable. She knows when to speak and when to keep quiet. She understands that everything she does has a consequence, and so considers the consequence before she makes a move. If she makes a mistake, she does what she can to rectify the situation, and then she moves on. She doesn't spend hours and hours in the what if and if only patch. She moves on. Little girls avoid getting close to God. It's all about what she feels. She's either angry with God and blames him for everything that is wrong in her life, because that justifies a pity party, or she expects God to solve every problem her way. She's not always sure what she believes about God and depends on people to tell her. Now, big girls invite God to be a part of their lives. She loves and respects him. She's not afraid of him. She doesn't try to manipulate him. And she's comfortable with God, whether she has a good or bad day. And then the last quality. Little girls find it difficult to be good friends. She either smothers her friends or cuts them off when they break any of her petty rules of friendship. She has high expectations that exhaust those around her. And she's more of a taker in relationships. Big girls delight in being good friends. She doesn't control her friends with hyper expectations. She contributes to their lives instead of draining it. She's able to give them space when they need it. She knows and appreciates the value of the group. In other words, she doesn't get jealous or insecure if they spend time with somebody else. And she has many friends because she has been a friend to many. Now, again, if you saw yourself on this list anywhere where you didn't want to be, this is, take what you need to take. I don't want anybody to walk away here feeling discouraged. It is, I think we just need to refuse to be victims. We need to refuse to be victims. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. And so, let's not whine. Let's not complain. Let's be the big girls that God calls us to be. Amen. There's going to be a part two in 2 weeks' time. So we'll speak then a little bit more in depth about other situations of being big girls. But I hope that's been encouraging, inspiring, and challenging for the next week. Amen. Have a good time of fellowship. Amen.